Edwards, the coffee with the extra flavor lift, brings you Night Editor. Night Editor with Hal Burdick telling another of his famous newsroom yarns. Tonight, the story of a crooked scheme that failed, titled On the Dotted Line.
Sitting in the living room of his hotel suite, Steve Delger, alias Morton Perry, marveled at the simplicity with which the scheme had worked out. A few papers to sign, a certified check for 60 grand, then the night train to Chicago, a meeting with Eddie, the mastermind, and Easy Street.
Well, the last mail edition has been put to bed, and before long, the hum of the presses will be an undertone to the telephones and typewriters and other excitement of the newsroom. For the moment, the work eases off a little, and Bobby has strolled over to Hal's glassed-in office in the far corner with, incidentally, a sly twinkle in his eye.
Hi, boss. I'm ready for the payoff.
Huh? Payoff? What do you mean?
The hush money. Of course, I'll go easy on you.
Huh?
Let's see. I'll settle for a cup of Charlie's Good Edwards coffee and a couple of donuts. Too cheap, but
all
being
right,
a
all
pal...
All right, all right, all right. What's this all about?
You had a lady caller tonight. I could tell your wife about it.
That is,
unless you'd rather...
So that's it. Well, you're out of luck, sonny boy. My caller was Miss Cynthia Higgy. And the missus knows about her being here, so you can buy your own coffee.
Oh, and I thought you were ripe for blackmail.
Just to turn the tables on you, if you'll offer to buy my coffee, I'll tell you a yarn about that quiet, gray-haired little lady you saw in here tonight.
Might have known you'd out-slicker me. You always do, but I give in.
Well, it happened back in the Middle West several years ago, Bobby. I didn't know Miss Heggy at the time, but I was in on another side of the story that finally got us acquainted.
I'm listening, boss.
Well, actually, it began the afternoon that Eddie York, a smooth operator in a number of big-time crooked deals, sat facing Steve Delger, a not-so-big-time crook, in Steve's hotel room in Los Angeles. There was the pressure of excitement back of Eddie's words as he said, "Steve, I'm cutting you in on one of the fattest deals I've ever pulled, with better than 30 grand apiece in it." Steve shook his head. No, thanks, pal. But I'm not looking for some. I'm very unpopular with the DA at the present moment, and button up your lip and listen to me, kid. This is real and 100% sure. Before I'm through, you'll be fighting for a chance to come in with me." He pulled his chair closer, smiling. Then, "As you remember, I headed east a couple of weeks ago. My car, figuring I'd do better to work in some greener fields. I'm heading out through Arizona when I stop at a little eating joint one noon for a sandwich. I'm sitting there at the counter when a guy comes in and takes the place next to me. I glance at him. And, pal, I pretty near fall off the stool. I think it's you, turning up suddenly from nowhere. Well, on a second look, I realize it isn't, but believe me, it takes a second look because the guy is a dead ringer for you. Well, naturally, I explain why I'm staring at him and we get into a conversation. Seems he's working and hitchhiking his way back to the Middle West, so I invite him to ride along with me, and he accepts. Well, while we're driving along, he gets more chummy. He tells me about himself. And the next thing, he's given me a line about being on his way back to a little burg to pick up an estate valued at better than $60,000, left him by an uncle. You can imagine, Steve, I get interested when he mentions that kind of dough. So I begin digging for more facts, and what I hear begins to add up fast. The guy is an orphan who's raised by this uncle. When he's about 14, he runs away from home and never goes back. That's 17 years ago. None of the hometowners ever see or hear from him again. By accident, he sees an ad that they're looking for him to settle up the estate. He's broke. He's working his way east, gradually. Steve's lips curled downward in a cynical smile. And because I look like the guy, I beat him back there and grabbed the dough. Oh, fat chance, Eddie. Let me finish. I keep this bozo, Morton Perry is his name, with me for 3 days. By then, I've checked everything I need. The names of people, places, description of the old house, everything, I tell you. I'm all set to go. All I need is you. We play it right, and Steve, boy, we're on Easy Street.
Oh, sure.
And just about the time I'm trying to collect the dough, the guy will show up, huh? No, Steve. Eddie's lips tightened into a thin, hard smile. The real Mort Perry never is going to show up anyplace.
You mean... You croaked him?
What do you think, Stevie?
Oh, listen, Eddie, you can cut me out right now. Some games I play, but not when there's murder mixed up in it.
You can forget about that, kid. I made sure nobody will ever know about it. From now on, you're Mort Perry. We can't miss. I've got all the dope we need, including letters from the lawyer, copies of the guy's signature for you to practice on. Why, what little anybody remembers about him, the resemblance will cover up. Once you get your hands on that dough, you'll be on your way with nobody ever to check up on it further. Oh, look, Steve. Steve walked over to the window, stood looking down into the street. When he turned around, his voice was tense.
I ain't saying yes. I ain't saying no. For now, tell me more about how you expect me to work it.
Sitting in the living room of a suite in Carberry's One Best Hotel 3 weeks later, Steve Delger, alias Morton Perry, marveled at the simplicity with which things had worked out. Shortly, attorney John Atwell would arrive with some last papers to be signed. In return, he would hand over a certified check representing this final settlement. After that, an impatient 3-hour wait for the night train to Chicago, the meeting with Eddie that would finish the job. Then, Easy Street. Oh, it had been almost too simple. People just accepted him for the grown-up version of the boy who once lived there. Eddie's preliminary work with the late Mort Perry had been perfect. A knock at the door interrupted his reflections. That would be the lawyer. The payoff was at hand. He opened the door, then recoiled a little in amazement. Instead of Lawyer Atwell, a small, gray-haired, rather primly dressed woman was looking in at him.
How do you do?
A pair of alert eyes sized him up through a long moment of silence. Then she was smiling. Yes, it's Morton Perry, sure enough. I would have recognized you anywhere, in spite of the years since I've seen you.
Yes, sure.
You don't remember me? I'm Cynthia Heggie.
Oh, sure. You kind of surprised me. It's been so long.
I heard about you being here to settle the estate. I wanted to see you. I live over in Morley now. Steve knew he was out on thin ice, but he'd been there before these past few days. Just play it easy. Let her lead to him. She accepted his invitation to come in, sat down with her intent eyes still on him. You've grown up to be quite a man, Morton. Now you're a wealthy one. I hope life has prepared you to use your wealth wisely.
I'll make good use of it, all right.
There were times when I worried about you as a small boy. Then when you ran away from your uncle, I confess, I doubted you'd ever amount to much.
Well, I was just a kid then.
And not the most promising one. She smiled and went on talking about Mort Perry's boyhood. Steve skidded dangerously around a few questions, listening hopefully for the arrival of Atwell. He was in a particularly tight corner when the knock came, and a moment later the attorney's big friendliness filled the room. He greeted Miss Heggie as an old friend. They chatted a moment. Then,
well, Morton, everything seems to be in order. After the sale of the old home and other properties and tax deductions, together with my fees, you have $62,428.17 coming to you. Yes, I have it here in the form of a certified check, as you requested, so if you'll just sign these papers where I've indicated, the formalities will be over.
This was it. Go easy now. The pen traced the signature he'd practiced so many times. 5 times on as many forms. The attorney picked them up.
Well, that does it, Morton. Now, I'll be on my way and let you and Cynthia finish your talk.
But Miss Heggie was standing up, too. As she did so, a patent leather purse slipped from her lap. Steve picked it up, handed it to her. She murmured her thanks. Explained it was time she was leaving, too. Morton would want a little time to himself. She would walk along with Mr. Atwell. There were goodbyes all around. Then the door closing behind them. And Steve was alone. The last big hurdle had been taken. The check was in his pocket. A long, tiring wait until train time. Then he could be on his way. At 8 o'clock, he ordered a cab and told the bellboy to come up for his bags as soon as the taxi was ready. The 5 minutes of waiting seemed like 5 hours now that the getaway was here. But at last, the knock on the door. He hurried to admit the boy, opened the door, fell back with a sharp gasp. Mr. Atwell was there. A step behind him was a big, solemn-looking man, and further back, that Heggie person. Steve tried to mumble excuses, a nerve-tightening fear growing within him. But the others were crowding on into the room.
Look, folks, I'm sorry, but... Well, it's close to train time. The kid's on his way up for the bags. It's nice of you to call, but we told boy he needn't bother.
It was the big man who spoke, moving closer to him.
Just who are you to be giving the orders, mister?
The folk pulled back, revealing a star with the word sheriff engraved on it. Steve knew his guilt must be written all over him, though he was fighting to control it. The sheriff was going on.
Don't reckon you'll be taking that train, Steve Delger.
Steve Delger? Well...
What are you talking about? What goes?
I'm talking about a darn fine set of fingerprints you left on Cynthia Heggie's purse. We developed them, phoned a description to Chicago. If you're Mort Perry, it's one of the seven wonders of the world. Because sure enough, you're wearing the hide of Steve Delger, who has a mighty unsavory police reputation.
In spite of himself, Steve's voice was rising to an angry snarl as he backed away like a cornered rat. The $60,000 was melting in his pocket. The shadow of prison bars was falling across the room. He was half shouting incoherent denials, but Mr. Atwell's voice rose above them as the sheriff closed in with the handcuffs.
You would have gotten away with it, Delger, if it hadn't been for Cynthia Heggie here. You fooled all the rest of us, but you couldn't fool her.
And what makes her so much smarter than everybody else?
Well, sir,
Atwell was smiling at the little woman.
I guess it's because she was a schoolteacher for 40 years.
A schoolteacher? Now, what's that got to do with it? Cynthia Heggie's gray eyes had an almost friendly twinkle in them. There was one thing about Morton Perry I remembered above all others, as his teacher through all his grade school years. One thing I tried my best to break him of doing, and then never could. I recalled it when Mr. Atwell brought you those papers. It made me suspicious. I wanted to know more.
Yeah? And just what was that?
Morton. Her smile widened as she went on. Morton was right-handed in everything but his penmanship. But he always wrote with his left hand.
Well, friends, when it comes to discovering the real thing in coffee, let me suggest this. Try a pound of Edwards coffee. That's the real thing for coffee enjoyment. Because Edwards gives you an extra flavor lift, a richness you will instantly detect and always enjoy. You see, Edwards' exclusive flavor doesn't just happen. It's the result of Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula of years spent in the fine art of coffee making. Well, just to show you, Edwards coffee contains only the choicest Central and South American coffee beans, carefully pre-selected for size, shape, and color, then skillfully blended in small batches under Mr. Dwight Edwards' personal supervision, and not by weight, but by flavor. That's not all. Edwards coffee is always roasted by the modern thermal process to bring out the full, natural coffee flavor. And don't forget, Edwards is ground only to your order right at the store to ensure absolute freshness. Try Edwards coffee for an extra flavor lift. Your money refunded if you don't thoroughly enjoy it. Edwards coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. Well, Hal, Miss Cynthia certainly provided a surprising climax to tonight's story. Can you tell us what's ahead for next week?
Well, I think it may provide a surprise, too. As I tell the story of the search for the way information about convoy sailings was being passed along to the waiting sub-pack offshore, and to the amazing conclusion to which the search led. It's titled, No Stone Unturned. And I hope you'll all be with us in the newsroom next week when I tell it. Good night.
This is Bill Baldwin inviting you to be with us next week at this same time when Edwards Coffee brings us Hal Burdick and another Night Editor story.